Hello out there and welcome. My name is Sharon Froschen and I am the Chief Operating Officer for the Discover Your Path You platform, where we believe that every life can teach and everyone can grow. To that end, I am also the host of this show, The Connection Sessions, in which we bring together practitioners, entrepreneurs, marketers, artists, spiritualists, mentors, and students in an effort to connect to community, learn from each other, and grow. Today, I have with me my own personal hypnotist, Angela Brooks Reese, who is an incredible practitioner, incredible hypnosis practitioner, as well as a close personal friend. She's somebody that I enjoy spending time with, talking about really deep subjects with, and she also helps me relax quite a bit. So, Angela, if you wouldn't mind sharing with us, how did you get into hypnosis as a profession, and how did you find Discover Your Path You?
Getting into hypnosis as a profession, first of all, thank you for having me.
Of course.
Very much enjoy talking to you anytime I can get an opportunity to do so. How I got into hypnosis was an interesting, to me, path because I was searching for several years. I'd been a real estate broker for 20-something years, forever and ever, and I knew I wanted to do something different, but I couldn't. I was actively searching for what it was. And I went to a hypnotist and he told me, you'd be good at this. And it was so out of the blue. It was something I had not even, it was beyond the realm of even any kind of comprehension I might have had. And I started looking into it. And the more I looked into it, the more fascinated I became. And then suddenly I had a business in Nevada that I knew I needed to let go of because I'm living in Boston and the back and forth was really starting to get to me. So I'd already had that signal. I need to let go, but it was really, really hard to let go. I did not want to let go. And all of a sudden everything fell into place. When I found this, it was like dominoes falling and I got an offer on my business. And within a couple of months, my business was sold and I was on my path. So starting from February, I sold the business officially in May. I took my first course in August of 2017.
Wow. So everything just came together for you.
Once I found it, yes. Once I found what it was that I had been searching for, I just knew it. And everything,
awesome.
The world fell into place as a result.
That must be such an interesting transition to go from working in a profession like real estate. I was an appraiser at one time, so I understand how cranial that is, to hypnosis, where it's your softness and it's your ability to be present for your clients rather than walking them through paperwork that gets you those incredible results that you get. How did you make that transition?
Actually, it wasn't that big of a transition.
Really? Share that with me.
Well, that's why I was so successful in real estate. The part that I loved was working with people, and most of my clients ended up being friends. So I had a lot of friends because I paid attention to the person, and my job, I felt like I was shepherding them through this nasty process, which was a great process at the same time, but it's so scary and there's so many pitfalls. And so that I always felt like I was the protector to guide them through that and make it as easy as possible to get what they wanted. And that was always the focus, is what's best for them and make
That's
sure
hypnosis.
That they were educated on their choices so they could make an informed decision.
Yeah. That is so much like hypnosis. And a lot of people have this misguided understanding of hypnosis based upon shows that they've seen in Vegas or other places where somebody makes you, you know, cluck like a chicken or walk around and eat an onion like it's an apple. How have we gotten to this point where people are afraid of something that's so beneficial for them?
Well, we're always afraid of something that seems unfamiliar.
Yeah.
And when you bring it into the realm of familiar, you go, oh, I'm already doing that. That's already happening on a daily basis. How can I make this work for me?
Yeah.
And I think fear is the worst enemy of everybody.
Oh, it certainly is.
It stops so many of us from, and it turns out 90% of the time that there's nothing to be afraid of unless you're in a dark alley. Then fear is wise, but in our daily choices, fear is not the best choice.
No, it actually cripples our ability to make wise choices, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. When you're coming from a place of fear, you become paralyzed. And I have become paralyzed by fear, trying to make choices, like moving to Boston. So
that's quite the change from the desert to the Northeast.
It is. It's been a wonderful change. I love, 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 love the Northeast. The desert was beautiful, but I found home.
Oh, well, that's fantastic. That must be an amazing feeling to be able to lock into that emotion of this is it. So you've locked into this is it with the location. You've locked into this is it with your career. How do you help your clients reach that point where they're willing to help you lock in to that transformation that happens in a hypnosis session?
I think probably the same way I did it with real estate is education first.
Yes.
So that they understand the process, they understand what's happening, they understand it's way simpler than they thought. It is not complicated. It's just a natural state, but we're not using it to our best interest. And to just show those little changes.
Would you compare the same state that, say, I drive the same exact way to work every day, and one day I get in my car and arrive at work and I can't remember the actual drive from point A to point B? Would you consider that a type of trance?
Absolutely. Yeah. You're in a state of hypnosis in that, because the thing is we get into automatic.
Yeah.
So the things that are automatic, those are hypnotic trances. And it's kind of interesting. So there's lots of different ways to explain it. Mm-hmm. So the simplest way for me to explain that particular type of trance, because it's a wonderful example of how hypnosis works. So when you first started that path, when you first started that trip to work every day, you had to pay attention. You're checking your GPS, you're checking the street signs to make sure you're on the right road, because you want to get to work on time and you don't want to get lost. And so the first trip you made, you were consciously paying attention to every little bit of it. But on a daily basis, with repetition and just, it became a subconscious automatic system. And that's what the subconscious is for. When it makes something automatic, efficiency. It's an efficiency system. And so when you first learn something, it's awkward. But once you do it a few times, you go, oh, now I get it. And then it smooths out. And that's when the subconscious takes over, because now it's created an automatic system for you. You've learned what it is that you need to do, and now you've got it, and now it flows. You don't need to think about it anymore. It just happens.
Yeah,
and that's the way. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. Isn't that what we do with our emotions too, where we have an experience that gives us a result, and then we develop that underlying, and it's from the best of intentions from our body and our subconscious to give us
Absolutely.
A system. But then from that point forward, our perception of that emotion is locked in and we're unable to have a new experience with it.
Well, yes and no, because yes, it does get locked in very easily. And that one is when you get into neuroscience, that's where that gets fascinating, because you can actually see the neurons, the Hebb's rule of neurons that fire together, wire together.
Uh-huh.
And so the easiest way to describe that one is you see Johnny and Johnny says something that just ticks you off. And so the first time you might let it go, second, third time, pretty soon you see Johnny and you're already in that. And then pretty soon, just the name Johnny, all you have to do is hear the name Johnny. I just get angry. Just hearing that name makes me angry, because now it's wired together, because the subconscious is an efficiency machine. Okay. Fast as possible. Let's make the connections we need to make. Because our consciousness is really, really limited, and our subconscious is humongous. If you think about all of our stored programs that are on automatic, you get up in the morning, you brush your teeth. These are not things you have to think about anymore.
No.
Make your coffee, all these things. You're thinking about other things while your system is automatically functioning. So you've got this gigantic vault. But consciously, when you're trying to concentrate consciously, you've only got, they say, between 7 plus or minus 2, so between 5 and 9 bits of information that you can actually process at one time consciously. That's all the room we have in this little tiny space of consciousness. Think about when you learn to drive. You know, you had, okay, this foot's on the pedal. Where's this foot? You had the gear shifter. You had the steering wheel. There's 4. You had a mirror. There's 5. You had these other mirrors. There's 6 and 7. And then you had the teacher. And the last thing you wanted was music because you were at capacity. It was taking every little bit of your attention to concentrate on all of those things at once.
Yeah. So the mind builds that program underneath to free you up to be able to see what's coming your way or to be able to see incoming data, correct?
Yeah, it's kind of like that process, like learning to drive the car. The subconscious takes it and goes, okay, and after a few times, it develops a system. It's like, okay, let me get the hang of this. Let's get the hang of this. Okay, here we go. And if you learn to be a bad driver, that's where you learn it, and it becomes an automatic system.
I know a lot of those people, lady.
My daughter didn't pass 100% on her driver's test, and the instructor said, well, she's only as good as her teacher. And I went, oh.
Clutch the pearls.
That. What can you say? They become automatic. But it's an efficiency system automating because you need your conscious mind to think about other things. And so as fast as it can automate that, it does. And then that goes back into the programming. You don't need to think about it anymore. So you can focus on other things. Now you can focus on which channel you want to listen to. And okay. Then now you can focus on how ticked off you are at Johnny.
Right. So going back to while Johnny, you're driving. That trance state is what allows access to the subconscious, correct?
You know what? Everybody's going to give you a different description of it. What makes sense to me is that the trance state is actually the automated system.
Gotcha.
So brushing your teeth is a trance state. Driving the car is a trance state. Hypnosis is a method for accessing the trance state. Gotcha. So if you looked at it as a computer, you'd look at it as what you see on your desktop. You take the conscious action of opening it up, but then you have all of the files on there. So you click open a file and there's a subconscious thing. And then there's another level that's your basic operating system, which gets really interesting too, into the physiology changes. So like DOS or iOS is underneath of that. So you've got 3 distinct things. You've got your conscious action. You've got your subconscious files where things are stored. All of this is stored. And then you've got your base DOS iOS operating system underneath running all of that.
Wow.
That you have no way to even know how to get to that. Files you can get to, sometimes you have to search a little harder to get to them. But that iOS, unless you know what you're doing, you have to hire a professional to get in there and change if there something goes wrong with that DOS. And that would be like your physiology, changes like the physiology. So hypnosis is a method of getting to both the subconscious and the unconscious physiology. So it's putting you in a state basically accessing those functions that automate the system. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So you're kind of like, I'm going to make something up and hopefully it's going to make sense. So say Joe, let's name our subconscious Joe. So we're going to normally, I can't really access Joe because I'm busy doing things. But if I get into the right state with the right guidance, then I can talk to Joe and say, hey, Joe, you know, this system isn't working for me. Can we switch it up? I'd prefer that we do it this way because Joe wants to please you. And so, you know, if you ask nicely, and you can actually change these systems either through constant repetition, mm-hmm. conscious, you know, constant repetition, but hypnotically it happens a lot faster usually. There's a change in there. And sometimes it's just simply through a perception change, a recognition change. And that's why it's harder. Self-hypnosis is more of a repetition, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're getting into there, but it makes a change, but you have to constantly do it. Whereas if you're guided in there, like you've guided me through some wonderful change work. And what's interesting to me is the biggest changes are really small.
Yeah.
They're just this little tiny change in perception. It's like, oh, I didn't think of it that way. And once you can make that change, you can't see it this way once you've seen it this way. You can't so unsee true. What you've seen.
And every little bit of information changes us irreparably. So I used to tell my sponsees in AA, and still do, that who would look at the fourth step, which is your inventory, while thinking about the ninth step and all the amends they were going to have to make. And I would always tell them, this person isn't going to exist. The person you are right now isn't going to exist by the time you get to the ninth step. So you don't need to worry about that, because we change so profoundly with each new bit of information that's provided right to us. And I love the way that hypnosis in today's age, and we do it really subtly, we do it through jokes, we do it through memes, where we basically indicate from our own lips that I'm unable to change. You know, those jokes that we yes put, you know, and then we're unable to do it. So hypnosis is that little boost past pure willpower into yes actually working with the operating system to change those things that sometimes we don't have the longevity to stay with those repeated.
Willpower gets us nowhere. Willpower is. So they ask the question, is which is more powerful, imagination or willpower?
Imagination.
Absolutely. Willpower is kind of like the soldier for the general of imagination, because imagination is the creator. Imagination says, what if Disney, Tesla, Einstein, all of them operated by imagination, and then willpower is to follow through on the imagination, not to create a change. Because willpower is nobody. It doesn't know anything. It's just like, yes, sir.
It's just blunt brute force.
As for as much as it has energy, because you only have so much willpower before it's gone. And yeah. And when we make changes, there has to be a change inside, a fundamental change inside of seeing it differently. And when we can see it differently, it's a no-brainer. It's easy. And the subconscious, when you talk about we're not the same person, mm-hmm, and when we tell ourselves something bad about ourselves, remember that subconscious wants to please you. And so if you say, I'm crap, it's going to run back in your memory banks, look for evidence, come back up and say, here's your evidence.
You're like a retriever.
Exactly. And yeah, if you think about the times where you did something powerful, where you did something that required strength, or when you notice your own characteristics that are positive, we take those for granted. And we don't realize they're special to us. They're unique to us. And they are powerful, because when you look for evidence of that, I'm strong, the subconscious does the same thing. It runs back and it finds the evidence and it brings it back and says, you're strong. Here you go. And so whichever you're looking for the evidence of, it's going to provide you the evidence.
Is that why affirmations work the way that they do? Because as we are affirming these things about ourselves, our subconscious is busy providing us the evidence of that rather than what we don't want?
I think it depends on the affirmation of whether or not you believe it's true. And I think that's why it's critical to know your strengths and to reaffirm your strengths and to build from that base, because or else have affirmations that are believable to you. Don't say, I'm a millionaire, because you're in your head, you're going, yeah, that's crap. You know, yeah. It's not. But when you say, like Marissa Pierce says, I am enough, that's believable. I'm enough. And from there, I can grow.
So you're linking your imagination to your language with affirmations is basically what you're doing.
Yes. And there's also the factor of repetition.
Yes.
And so when you want to change something, you build from a base of strength and you add to that, I am strong. And flexible. So maybe you can add flexible in there, where you're learning to be flexible, because you're building, you already know you're strong. That's true. Now, maybe we can add some flexibility into there. So doing it in a way that's believable to you, I think, in my opinion, affirmations that sometimes we get carried away with affirmations and just think, if I just repeat I'm a millionaire 100 times, I'll be a millionaire, and never believing it. You know, it's just like,
and the fact that you don't believe it and it doesn't happen just reaffirms the antithesis of your affirmation.
Yeah. So I have different ideas on affirmations and how they should be used more effectively.
I know that there's a common belief that in the hypnotic state, it's really the hypnotist who's telling you what to do. And my experience of my hypnosis sessions with you has been that rather than you telling me what to do during a hypnotic session, you're making suggestions and giving me permission to change the things that I no longer want to experience the way that they currently are. Can you share a little bit on how you do that with a client and why giving permission is more powerful than you will?
Well, because if somebody tells me I will, I won't. It all starts there. It's the same thing as the affirmation. It must be believable and it must come from something that the person wants.
Yeah.
So yeah, I want to be a millionaire, but what's the first step I can take to there? What's a way I can get to that in a way that's believable to me? What's a way that I can empower myself that might put me on a path to that? So let's look for the strengths that we have and where we can build from there. And you have that information inside of you. We know, and I think it's also looking at the fears that hold us back from accomplishing the goals that we set for ourselves.
Yes.
If we want that, there's a reason that we have every desire. Some people say, oh, I have a desire and it's bad. If I want to be a millionaire, it's bad because money's bad. And it's like, no, you have a desire for it. So there's a reason for that. Let's explore what that reason is, because maybe it's not being a millionaire. Maybe it's what being a millionaire brings to you. So what does that bring for you? What is it that you get on the other side of that? Well, then I'll have time to explore. I'll be able to travel. And what will travel do for you? And travel will make me happy. I'll feel fulfilled and appease my sense of adventure. And so then you go, well, you don't need to be a millionaire to do that, right? Mm-hmm. To be happy, to explore your sense of adventure and excite that. And we get caught in these things. So it's always a game of exploration of what is behind what it is that you want, because you think it looks one way and you realize, wait, no, now everything's opened up for possibilities.
So it's the shifting of that perception of your desire that actually creates the opening for you to change.
Yes. And then it's figuring out what might be hindering that progress, what fears might be in the way, so that now you can see those fears in a realistic light to realize whether or not they're valid. For you.
Such a powerful process. I think one of the fears that I've heard most often, and I remember it in my training as a hypnotist as well, is people are afraid. And I believe Sammy D, who's actually watching us, hinted to it, where she said there's a perception that hypnosis makes you vulnerable. And there's this idea that somebody can implant something into my brain that I don't want. But I believe the study was done in Britain, if I'm not mistaken, where they took a bunch of people and attempted to hypnotize them to rob banks. And those people that were not predispositioned to criminal behavior or to wanting to rob a bank were unable to follow through with those hypnotic suggestions. Do you remember the study I'm talking about?
Yeah. And that's correct. That's correct. What's interesting about that, though, is that people don't realize that as they're sitting vegging out in front of the TV,
yep,
and they're watching those commercials, every one of those guys have hired a hypnotist to teach them the best way to access and it's small things. You just crave a Big Mac for no reason whatsoever, except for the red and the yellow and the jingle that gets into your head and the repetition. Remember, the repetition is another form of hypnosis. But if you look at the ones that are biggest to me, they're so obvious. They're almost all this way now, the drugs but the car commercials.
Oh, Lord, yes.
You're going to be, you know, and it just shows pictures. It's just pictures of the happy family, of the sexy people, of the power, and driving this car makes you all of those things. And so the inference is there and that's a form of hypnosis.
As well as the light.
Oh yeah, just everything. And so you're being hypnotized watching a commercial, and all of a sudden that car looks really good to you. And you know, I think I want a Ford next time.
Yeah.
And because they've hypnotized you and somehow driving a Ford will make you strong and sexy and powerful and all these things that these people that they're showing you, because those are the kind of people that drive a Ford.
It's the same thing that they do, like you were talking about with the Big Mac with food. And then we wonder why we end up overweight and listless because we're simply following the Pied Piper. So we're experiencing hypnosis in varying
every day
throughout the day.
Every single day.
It's really not that, it's not something to be afraid of if we're aware that it's happening.
Exactly. It's something to use as a tool to turn it around to empower you. Now let's use that tool for your benefit instead of their benefit. Yeah.
That's a powerful, powerful fact, is it not? It really does level the playing field.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Angela, our half hour is gone as usual. It just disappears. Thank you so much for being on the show today. Anybody who is interested in a hypnosis session, especially those of you in the Northeast, Angela does have a physical office as well as online
in my office
appointments. Now. She's actually in her beautiful office now. If you are interested in experiencing hypnosis or the power of hypnosis, especially from somebody who is just so nurturing and so protective over the process. She's somebody that I go to regularly for help. I would highly recommend Angela. All of her contact information is available in this Facebook Live, as well as her Facebook page, her actual website, as well as her name. You can contact her through this live. There will also be a YouTube video and a podcast following of this same session. I highly recommend that you get a hold of Angela and help her help you level the playing field, because today's world is definitely stacked against us. So thank you for being here, Angela. Thank you for sharing your knowledge with us and for helping make hypnosis slightly less frightful for those of us
I hope so
who may not, you know, have experienced it that much. Thank you to all of our viewers, to Andrea, to Sammy, to Monique. We really love having you here. And if you see this video after we're no longer live, go ahead and drop us a hashtag replay and just let us know that you were here. As always, guys, we will see you tomorrow at 1 p.m. Eastern, same time, same place. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Sharon. Thank you for having me.
Bye-bye, everyone.